Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
If you have your Bible, I want to read out of Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, 16. Then I'm going to tell you a story in Acts chapter 8. We've got a lot of resources in our cafe about being able to share your faith. Sometimes when you talk about sharing your faith, you just go into panic attack mode. Sharing your faith. But there's resources out there that can help. And then on our website, a couple years ago, because we had so many people going on our website, many are watching online right now, and it's such a tool, it's such an incredible opportunity to be able to use technology to just share all kinds of things. And so we went on our website, and we put a whole thing about real life, real stories, and a real God. And it's interesting that that's one of the things that's probably one of the more popular areas on our website about things that God has done in people's lives. Because you can't argue with a life that's had a turning point. You can't argue with a life that's got a testimony. And so on our website, there's so many opportunities there. You can see that categories: addiction, alcohol, depression, drugs, family, grief, infertility, relationships, religion. You've got different stories. And then also kind of helps equip you if there's somebody in your life that you want to, you just feel like you're supposed to talk to. You're supposed to be a witness to. You're supposed to be a light to. And so on our website, it's one of the best resources we have on our website. But I want to read this scripture to you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Jesus said that the Sermon on the Mount, he's just unpacking. It's just like rapid fire truth. Jesus says this to those that want him. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, everybody say flavor. How shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out, trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp, put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. I like that. They light a lamp and they put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. I love verse 16. Let your light so shine before men, then they may see your good works and glorify your God in heaven. I'll read that to you again. It's a great verse, a fantastic verse. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. It's two things that Jesus uses right there. Salt. We know that salt means a lot of different things. I mean, if there's anybody that understands salt, it is the people of Louisiana. I mean, we are a seasoned, sodium-loving people. And so, you know, it's salt. Salt, when Jesus was describing it, had a tendency to mean purity. Salt brings a purity. Salt also, and I think when he was speaking it, when you look at the times and as he was speaking, also means a flavor. A flavor. Be salt. Be flavor. I believe that people that know Christ should be the happiest people around. Whether we are what makes the party. So, flavor. I like that word, flavor. There's a guy who used to rap called Flavor Flav or something like that. He wore a watch or something like that. Flavor Flay, is that his name? Flavor Johnny, you know you're 40 years old. You're much younger than I. Flavor Flay, somebody. Flavor. The flavor. You know the word flavor means radiance. Radiance. You put, have you ever had food? How many's ever been to Minnesota? I went to Minnesota. I was like, y'all got any Tonys? I went to Australia, and can I tell you, people are wonderful in Australia, but they have no flavor on their food. I snuck Tony's in my briefcase to be in Australia. I mean, I'm asking for Tabasco. There's no flavor. You can tell when you've eaten food with flavor, You can tell food, and maybe you're watching online from Minnesota. You got great snow. Maybe you're watching from Australia. We love your music. We love Pastor Brian. We just got to send you some Louisiana hot sauce. But, you know, you can tell when you've eaten flavored food. What do you say? It has, doesn't have flavor. It means radiance. Jesus says, one of the ways that you'll make a difference in your city, in your home, one of the ways you share the gospel, that you show the gospel, is through being salt, being pure in your life. There's got to be a difference. And by having flavor, a radiance about you. It's hard to win anybody. It's hard to impact anybody if you are the most depressed person at the office. You're not going to make an impact on your campus if you are the most bummed out person on your campus. There comes a time where you realize that the joy of God is my strength. See, so he says salt has a radiance. You know the other thing I like about salt? Salt also is a preservative. It preserves, brings life. Life at all times, a preservative. Our world needs that today. And then Jesus says that you're to be light. I think light does three things. I think light is a guide. It's a guide. I love this application on my iPhone. It's a flashlight app. If you don't have that, you should download that because you're going to need it. So on my phone, it turns into a flashlight. Now it drains the battery in about 30 seconds, but I sure can't see around. But I like my flashlight app. I get up at night, I don't no longer have to wander through the house trying to check on things, trying to eat cereal. Can I have a good amen? Brother got to eat cereal 3 a.m. But you know, you have this app. A light guides. He said, you're to be light. You're to help give guidance, give direction. We live in a world where people don't have any direction. So one of the ways we share Christ, that we show the love of God, is we bring direction from God's word. God's truth. The other thing light does is it warms. I didn't grow up with a fire. I didn't grow up with a fireplace. We never had a fireplace in our home. I mean, we didn't do that. When I met Delin, my wife, they have fires, even in South Louisiana, 9 months out of the year. I mean, my father-in-law gets wood. You would think he lives in Anchorage. And he's expecting power outages constantly. He has wood. I remember when we first got married, he'd tell me, why don't you come help me get wood? I'd go in the back. I mean, there'd be just cords of wood everywhere, lumber everywhere. Him and Uncle Jimmy, hey, splitting wood. And it'd be all over the backyard. Like, we're not ready yet. We got to find some more. I'm thinking, are you thinking it's the end of the world? You got enough wood. Plenty of wood. It warms it. My wife loves getting by a fire and just standing by it. She bounces like this when she stands in front, don't you? Just stands. I can stand in front about 15 seconds. I mean, it get hot. You ever been at somebody's house and the fire is so hot in there you got to go outside? Cut the AC on. We're building a fire. Somebody cut the air conditioner on. It's hot in here. I see Uncle Jimmy up here. He knows all about it. That's my uncle. He built a fire. You have to open up the front door. And fire warms. One of the ways we share and we show the love of Jesus, we are to be warm people. We're to bring comfort to people. You know, we're not porcupines. Can I have an amen? Nobody wants to get close to a porcupine. I mean, just warm in the way we approach life. Just warm in the way that we see things. It's one of the greatest ways we can share and show the love of God is by being warm, not being cold, not being calloused, but by being warm. And then here's the other thing that I love about salt. It's a real simple message. Jesus says, one of the ways that people will see me, one of the ways that people will know me is you be salt, be a preservative. Help from the corruption of the world. Be different. And then you be light. God, help God. When things are dark, bring light to it. When things are closing in, bring something warm to something that's cold. And then I love the other thing. A light, I believe, and the scripture teaches this, is to be seen. It's to be put up on a lampstand. It's to be seen. To be seen. That's what I love about you as a church. We've always loved what happens in this room and in our other facilities and at our campuses. We celebrate it. We enjoy great moments. And oh, it's just amazing what God has done over the last 18 years. I mean, we've had some moments with God. We've had moments with God together in worship and in prayer and in fasting and through, you know, people speaking and sharing. And whether it's a women's conference or it's an early morning prayer time or getting together in a connect group or a men's or with our young people, our kids, we just have great times with God. But you know what? We just don't celebrate what happens in the house. We really celebrate what happens from the house. Can I have a better amen? I love what happens in here, but you know what I love? I love that when something happens in here, then it happens out there. It's to be seen. I think when Jesus said, take the lamp and put it on a lampstand, what he was saying is, take the light that I've given you and then put it at a place where people could see it. In the marketplace, on the campus, in the neighborhood, where you work out, where you go to, where you go to the store at it, when you in your friendships, in your clubs, in your areas that you connect, let it be seen. You know, that's why we believe as a church that some of our greatest moments are the things that we get to do to serve people. Why are we serving people? We're not serving people to get saved. How many of us, we serve because we are saved. We're not serving to get to grace. We're not working to try. Well, if I go and serve somebody, if I go and do an outreach, then maybe Christ will be more happier with me. We're not serving to get to grace. Guess what? Once we come to grace, then from grace, we live out our life. It's from grace we live out our life. But it's to be put on a lampstand to be seen. Somebody said this one time, there can be no such thing as secret discipleship. For either the secrecy destroys the discipleship or the discipleship destroys the secrecy. A man's faith, a woman's faith in Jesus Christ should be visible and it should be vocal. Secrecy can destroy it. God wants us to have light that goes beyond the door of our church as it reaches out to other people. You know, basically what Jesus is saying, I believe it's God's desire for you and I, is once you come to grace, you relay grace. And which that tells me that what we found in God, that we, our lives, our words, our work, our energy, our time, our compassion, it becomes show and tell. How many remembers a thing called show and tell when you were growing up in school? For those of you that did not have that type of incredible moment in the classroom, I'll tell you what show and tell is. Show and tell was so cool because sometimes during the year, this is how we rolled it at Montclair Elementary. Now, we didn't do it much in high school, which was kind of a bummer. But, you know, in elementary, it was show and tell at Montclair Elementary. And so we didn't do it every day, but there would be certain times during the year that the teacher would give out a list and say, okay, this is your day. You can bring something from home and you could just kind of show the class and then you could tell them about it. And then it's your moment. You would stand in front of class and you would take something. You would show it and you would tell them about it. It's a great moment. And so I remember my first recollection of show and tell. I don't remember one of them. But I can remember getting really amped up, and she did it after Christmas, because how many of us after Christmas, normally, maybe you're watching online, you have some stuff you really want to show people. It was like, let's check it out. You know, just look at it. Well, got me some shoes. Got me a purse. I mean, we're adults, but we still do show and tell. We just don't announce it. We just walk around our new purse. How y'all doing? What you got on your arm? It's my new purse. You know, we bring the conversation. We may be talking about work and the warehouse, but in 5 seconds, you're trying to get that conversation efficient. Because you want to tell them about that new fishing pole. So I can remember my first, you know, what I remember, and I had a new G.I. Joe. I mean, it was fantastic. That's phenomenal. And I was all amped up about G.I. Joe. And I was going to listen. Nobody was bringing a G.I. Joe. Because you don't want to bring something that somebody else brings. You want to be original. And so I got fired up. I bring a G.I. Joe. My day was like on Thursday. On Wednesday, one of my best friends, I think, heard me talking about my incredible, cool, bad G.I. Joe. So he brought a G.I. Joe. He tried to one-up me. He brought his G.I. Joe on Wednesday, and I had mine on Thursday. And I remember he had it in a box, and it was like a collector's item. And it was like really nice, and it was still in the box, and it was so cool. And he left it up on the table, and the teacher's like, well, do you want to pass it around? No. Come by and see it. So we all got up out of our desk, and he stood by protecting it. Because it was still in the box, and we all just kind of walked by. Just wanted to touch it. And he's just like, look at my G.I. Joe. I walked by, I'm like, I went home and I thought, how can I bring a G.I. Joe? I mean, look at my old funky G.I. Joe. All broke up G.I. Joe. I've been playing with mine. Mine's not been in a box. Y'all know what I've been playing with mine. So you know what I thought about? I'm going to bring this G.I. Joe, and I'm going to let everybody hold him. I'm going to let everybody throw him up in the air, step on him, stomp him. Because he was the real G.I. Joe. He wasn't in a box. That was a box G.I. Joe. I want no box G.I. Joe. Don't buy me no box G.I. Joe. So I took mine outside that day, stomped on him. One of his arms broke. I took duct tape and taped him back on there. Oh, broke up arm. You know, he's standing like this right here. You know, clothes all tore up, all stinky. I went the next day, brought my G.I. Joe. Said, my G.I. Joe, he's been in a battle. Come on, somebody. Come on, can I have a little help at 9 o'clock? They've been fighting. He's been in a real war. He's a real, I was looking at my friend. He's a real G.I. Joe. Matter of fact, I'm going to hand them out. Y'all could step on him, throw him around, undo the duct tape, pass his arm around, burn him upside the head. I don't care what you do. He's going to be all right. Man, those kids got him. I remember I was like the coolest kid. I mean, I had issues. I had speech problems. I was ADD. They sent me to resource half of the day. I was just trying to get a rep. I mean, I'm doing anything to think I got to get some cool going here because my game is weak. And so when I got, you know, everybody just thought that was the coolest thing. What does that have to do with sharing your faith? People are not looking for a plastic, I'm better than you, never been used, G.I. Joe Christianity. But they're looking for somebody that will speak from their life, their hope, and their story. Why? Because you can't argue from someone's story. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got a story. You have a story. Your real life, your real problems, how that guy you were dating dogged you. It can help somebody. How you looked to God and you thought your whole life was falling apart because he rejected you. But how God helped you through that. It can help somebody. How you lost your company, or you lost something in your life. It helps somebody. I'm going to simply tell you how to share your faith. We're going to finish up. Mike's going to come and give you an opportunity to accept faith. I think it's three things. I think when you notice somebody or God puts somebody across your path or he connects you in a world of someone's life and there's this sense that somebody doesn't have faith, someone doesn't have Christ because it's our responsibility because guess what? We believe a world is lost and dying without Jesus Christ. We talked 3 weeks ago about eternity. We believe in eternity. We believe that when people die, they will wake up either in heaven or hell. And what you and I get to do with the love of God right now makes the total difference in someone's life. Because the invitation has been given to people. Jesus knocks. Jesus is there. And so when we notice someone or we come across someone's life or we sense something or maybe there's a question that's posed to us or maybe we hear a conversation or maybe what I call there's this bridge moment where someone's going through something. They happen to share it with you. I think there's three things that can help you share your faith. The first thing is when you let somebody know your before story. I call it before and after witnessing. I think you just say, here's what I was. Here's what I went through. Here's what my life was without Christ. And then when you tell them the before, you tell them what happened. Then you know what you do? You tell them the after story. Here's what God's done in my life. I think it's that simple. It's before. It's here's what happened. You know, many of you know, and I mean, again, I think it's that simple. You say, I could go 15 points and we've got books, and we've got resources, but I can't get into all that. I'm just simply telling you. You can go to Next Step class, which helps us a lot about sharing our faith. But really, at the end of the day, I think one of the greatest ways that you can share your faith with people is you give them the before and after. Now, don't spend all your time, I was a devil. I tell you what, I was having so much fun staying drunk. I mean, it's light. I mean, let's front end. Let's get to the after part. You ever heard somebody tell you their story and all they want to tell you about is how bad they were? It's like, okay, I hear your testimony, but let's move on past it, my brother. You know, get on to it. It's before and it's after. But many of you have watched, and I don't know if you've been watching this whole thing with the NFL. I mean, we're going to play football. We're not going to play football. The owners, the players, the owners, the players, the owners, the players. Millions, billions, billions. It's billionaires arguing with millionaires. All this. Some of you follow sports. You see all this. I mean, the negotiating, the players, the this, the that. You know, there's a name you'll see. You'll see him in the negotiating. You'll see him cover USA Today. Sports Talk Radio, ESPN. There's a name that you see in all this. You'll see a name of a guy by the name of Kevin Mawai. He's the president of the Players Association. So when all this is going on right now, you see this guy by the name of Kevin Mawai, who is in the middle of negotiating these billions of dollars representing thousands of players. Kevin Mawai. Kevin's from Leesville. Went to LSU. His wife, Tracy, before they were married, wanted to be married in a Christian environment. They asked several people about it and interviewed, talked to a couple pastors, and a couple of the pastors said, well, you're not in church and you're not a member of our church, so we're not going to be able to marry you. And I'll never forget, Tracy called me, tracked me down one day and said, hey, I've met a guy, we want to get married. And I remember her from the youth group. And I said, well, sure, why not? At that time, we were a young church, didn't have a lot going on, had a lot of time. I was marrying people. Marrying, burying, going to hospital, do whatever. I just had to do something. I was ADD, driving me crazy sitting around a church office. I ain't nothing worse sitting around a church office with nothing to do. So we started marrying people. So he came over and they sat down. Three times they had to sit down with me. And I think they only sat down like twice. And you know what I did? I just saw it as an opportunity to share faith. I talked to them maybe 5 minutes about their marriage, about getting married. But you know what I did? I could have took time and shared what we know is the Romans Road. I just shared Romans chapter 3. I remember getting the Romans Road out, Mike, and I shared all of sin. What about that? We're doing pre-marriage counsel. What about our finances? How many kids we're going to have? And he ain't acting right. How do we, you know, pre-marriage? I'm talking about all of sin. Then I shared out of Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is free gift. Then I shared out of Romans chapter 10, confess your sins and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ. I remember after two sessions, I looked up and said, hey, that's great about you getting married. We'll marry you. It'd be fantastic. But I looked right at Kevin. I said, Kevin, would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'd shared my story of coming to faith. He said, nope. Looked right at me and said, nope, not interested. I said, well, can I lead you in prayer? Nope. Okay. Great. Hey, we'll see you at the wedding. I didn't sulk and say, I'm not marrying you. I didn't get to the wedding and say, by the way, Kevin's a heathen. You're not saved. I didn't tell Delinda boycott the song. Don't sing the song. Shared the love of God before, after, shared my story, gave him an opportunity. Kevin went on to play for Seattle Seahawks, fantastic center. But God has a way of getting people's attention. Tragedy happens in his life, loses his brother. They have a precious baby. All of a sudden, something begins to stir. Why? Because I believe that the testimony of God never dies in a person's heart when you share it with them. Okay, what the outward, like, oh, get out of my face, get out of my face. I don't want none of that. I don't want none of that. Remember, you interpret it. I really need that, but I can't let you know that. And so what happened is he showed up in church one Sunday morning like this. I looked up and saw him. He's a big old boy. She couldn't miss him. He's standing in the back. I was like, what is Kevin doing here? Maybe he's mad at me. That wouldn't be good. He's big. And so I got done with church. We had people come to the altar. I walked off. Kevin met me right there on the stage when I walked off at our other building. And he said, I need to talk to you. When could you talk to me? So I can talk to you now. He said, no. I need to sit down and talk to you. Some things have happened in my life. I need to talk to you. So come see me Tuesday. And when he got here, there were people everywhere in the church back in those days. All the offices were used. And so we had to go sit in a children's room. One of the classrooms. Some of you remember those little classrooms down there? One of them was called the barn room. And here's the coolest thing. They had children's chairs in there. So I'm a pretty big guy. I'm like a large. I'm about 180. It's not true. Johnny, you're not even 180. And we sit down in these baby chairs like this. Kevin's like 6'5", Mike, maybe 6'4", 300, 305, 290. See, we're sitting in these big baby chairs. How you doing? Kevin opens up a notebook. I'll never forget this. He says, I have 67 questions to ask you. Why did God kill my brother? Wow, that's a big one. And he started asking me these probing, large life questions, like Job. We got to three questions. I finally said, Kevin, I don't have any more answers for you. You've got all the head knowledge you need. What you need is faith in Jesus Christ. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ. And I shared my story again with him. My before, what happened when I came to Christ, and after. I shared my testimony. And then I looked across the table and said, can I pray for you? He began to weep. And I reached across and grabbed him by the hands and I prayed for him. And I said, would you like for me to lead you in prayer? He said, yes, I would. And I led him in prayer. And he received Christ in those children's chairs in the barn room. I mean, we stood up and he hugged me and was crying. And he's a big man. We cried. We prayed together again. He said, I feel like there's a weight that's been lifted off of my shoulders. You know what I remember thinking? And I think this is about everybody. The crane didn't show up today and just snatch it off your shoulders. The crane has been hovering over your life. It's been hovering over your life. And when you said yes, it lifted. See, we just never know. Let's notice, let's be aware, and then let's be ready to tell our story. Nobody can lie with your story.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.